Watch you watching the colors rise. Summer twilight skies on fire. Never wishing I was somewhere else. Held on to you like Loctite. Getting through it when it hurt like hell. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to The Unglossed.
Episode 8. We made it, but we're not in New York together.
We are not in New York together. I am Brooke Thomas in New York City.
Oh, yes. New York Brooke. And I am North Carolina Jill.
Woo! And now we're back. We're back in our places. It's like almost 9 o'clock on the East Coast here.
Yep.
I think we're both a little tired.
Yep.
So.
But we're doing it. We're doing it.
But we're doing it.
Yeah.
It's funny because we actually just had a whole conversation before this about how this could be a full-time job. Yet there's no monies involved with it, so it cannot be our full-time job. So this is a labor of love, everyone. Labor of love.
Yes, true labor of love. There is so much to do. So much to do.
So if anybody understands how to use Twitter effectively or, you know, social media stuff, please let us know because we are... not sure exactly.
Do you know any like online social media classes that might be helpful for us?
I made my Google Doc list for us and it's a long list.
Yeah.
And I still think of new things to put on it all the time. But anyway, we're going to get there. This is only 8 episodes in. And Jill and I and our patient selves are like, why are we not like number one in Apple Podcasts or something?
You know what? I'm a business bitch. And my mind's on, you know.
Yes.
Getting our numbers up. But in all honesty, we're just really happy that anyone listens.
We really are. And the people who have... I mean, honestly, I feel like we have some loyal listeners, and we said this before, but I love like getting the messages and it makes me so happy.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And I also apologize if I have not responded adequately because the last couple weeks have been a little wonky.
Yeah, both of our schedules were very totally like, messed up when I was in New York. We were just two girls hitting the city nonstop.
Enough. Yeah, we didn't have as many official podcast dinners as we had hoped. But yeah, we do appreciate. Please. If you could, we got another like on Apple Podcasts, which was super exciting.
Oh, heck yeah.
But please, reviews, so helpful, because then I don't know what it does, but I feel like it probably lets people know about us more.
Oh, maybe.
Is that real? I don't know. I want to believe that's real. So, but yeah, I mean, I feel lucky though that we get to talk about all of these things, and
yeah,
you're everyone's along with the journey with us because it is unglossed. But anyway, thank you. Definitely. So, Jill, how is it being back in North Carolina? And also, happy Mother's Day. I feel like I should have realized happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers or mothering people listening, no matter where you are in the situation. How was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was actually really nice. I slept in. I went to brunch at the little coffee shop in town. And the woman who owns the coffee shop, she is an incredible cook. Like, oh my, everything she makes is just amazing.
Really?
Pizza night there tonight, homemade pizza.
My goodness.
And homemade strawberry rhubarb pie. So good.
And then I just played with William all day on Sunday.
Aww.
Played outside. It was really nice. Being back is, I miss you. I miss, you know, endless food options, but there is something I went on a 2-mile hike this morning. That was really nice.
By yourself?
No, with Daniel. I'm afraid of like mountains.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, 2-mile hike by yourself in the mountains.
Yeah, I just, you never know. You never know. So yeah, it's good to be back, but I'll be back to New York. Hopefully you come here though soon.
That will happen before the summer is over. Once everything, Jill's jet setting off to LA soon.
I am.
And so we have to coordinate, but it will happen. We will be together recording again. Maybe we'll have microphones.
Yes.
We're gonna be down with our social media finally. So
we're getting it together, y'all. Just, you know, hang in there.
Slowly but surely.
Be patient.
Exactly. That's the rule for everyone, basically. Patient. Ourselves more than anyone, probably.
Yeah. And that's a great segue into our episode.
Oh, yes. So I know the last couple of weeks have probably been a little heavy in us, you know, talking about some of the issues with the whole self-care industry and how women are sort of being told, oh, you need to be this good girl who's this certain kind of imperfect, or you just need to be this like wild woman. And, you know, I think every woman has probably some challenges like falling, not wanting to fall into those things or sees themselves in those ways at different times. But trying to like sort of take that we are human beings and it's messy. And, you know, we just like men, just like however people identify, none of us really know fully what we're doing. You know, we're doing the best that we can. So that leads us into, because this was one of the things that was asked for by a couple of people. It leads us into our conversation about what we do for self-care. And per usual, we have a couple of articles that we'll link to in the show notes and kind of talk about those a little bit, but also just what, like, kind of a concentrated thing. So hopefully that way, if you're looking for ideas, then you're not necessarily going through every one of our episodes trying to, like, write stuff down. You can come here and be like, this is a great idea that I would like to use myself. Or if you have ideas and you'd like to share, we're always open. So
always, please.
Exactly. So talking about the idea of self-care, and I guess thinking about self-care and from a mother's perspective, a mother who is actively mothering and has, you know, a child. Jill, do you want, I mean, I could talk about it from the aunt's perspective, but it's not exactly the same. So do you want to talk a little bit to that?
Yeah. Now it's so different than what it was when I was living in Los Angeles. I mean, self-care when I first had the baby was just, surviving. I mean, it's just nonstop baby crying, no sleeping. We were in a studio, like a apartment. So William was in bed with us. I mean, it was literally like there was nothing I could think of for the first month until we decided we wanted to move into a larger space within Los Angeles. It was just surviving. And I think even like when, like the entire time in LA, like self-care, I would go to the gym, which had a drop-off daycare, and that really helped because it just gave me, you know, an hour and a half to myself, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It was just such a crazy time. There wasn't a lot of room for self-care. I mean, the whole time in LA, Daniel and I both were just surviving. I went out with, you know, two of my good friends in Los Angeles. Like we would go out to dinner sometimes, or they would come over and watch a movie. And that was definitely self-care, like talking to a human who was above the age of like
somebody who could talk back, actually.
Yes. So that was definitely helpful self-care. Also trying really hard to give myself a break with like the dishes and cleaning the house. And I remember there were some nights where I just went to bed at like, you know, 7:30 after I put William to bed and was like, the house is messy. It doesn't matter. I have to sleep. So that was definitely helpful. Now that we're in North Carolina and I have so much help with William, I think that was like the biggest self-care I could have done, is, you know, kind of throwing my hands up and saying like, I can't do this all by myself all day long, every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, cause Daniel didn't get home till like 10 or 11. So it really was like morning until bed every night. And yeah, the biggest self-care was just moving to North Carolina where I could have family to help me. I mean, I know that's not everyone's case. So the little things would just be giving yourself a break, which I know is really hard to do. But also, you know, if you have people around you, ask for help. Like, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You know, we all need help. It's exhausting.
It's exactly.
So exhausting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things, you know, and I do wonder, because to some degree we have the luxury of being able, and it's hard, but, and we talked about this last week, I think, a little bit, or Jill and I talked about it, maybe in just a conversation we had, where we were discussing, you know, the luxury of being a person, being a woman who, even if you're in the midst of a hard time, and it feels impossible, that you still can make some of these larger changes, whether it's location or, you know, a gym or having family help out or therapy or, you know, those sort of things. And there is a luxury to that, I know, because there are absolutely women who, you know, they are trying to just keep it down, keep it going with a job, or they have kids and they're single parents, or, I mean, there's just so many things. And I often wonder, like, if I'm a single woman who, you know, aside from some, I don't have a really huge, like, financial support net that has never been a thing for me, but I do have a handful of people who are very close. And if I needed something, would immediately be like, absolutely, we will find a way to do this for you, or help you. And I do wonder, like, how if it's so hard in that situation, even how you manage it. And I, as a person who is, you know, in recovery from an addiction, and use that, you know, the alcohol and substance to like medicate, self-medicate. Mm-hmm. No wonder that there are women and people who that's what they do, even though, you know, that they don't, they might not, it's not great for them, but maybe it's the release that they, that they have.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, when I was in LA and Daniel was never home, like that was the first time since getting sober that I really thought about drinking again. And that's when I actually did start to go to meetings. So I should say that was another self-care. You know, just, and there are some meetings that you can bring children to. Mm-hmm. Women's meetings, which is awesome. And, you know, for me, living in LA, when every play group is like $10 to go anywhere, step out your door, like going to a meeting and being around women who were, you know, addicts and anxious and just like me in many ways was really great. You know, in those moments, you just want to feel that you are not alone and that you can just, I don't know, lean on someone. And even though I didn't know any of these women and I really didn't talk to them, it was just comforting, you know, being in a room with people my own age, with people that, you know, have gone through, you know, some bad stuff like we all have, and that are, you know, sharing their stories. That was really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, motherhood is one of those things, and I mean, this is like an entirely separate topic and many topics, obviously, that I, you know, obviously that's not been my experience. I mean, I always think of myself as a pretty nurturing person. Like I'm actually pretty good with kids and I like kids a lot, mm-hmm. and feel very protective of them, and am sometimes surprised I didn't have or haven't had kids of my own. Mm-hmm. But not always then as I get older, I'm like, eh. But yeah, I mean, I can't necessarily speak to that self-care. I mean, I'm looking at self-care from sort of the generally has been single kind of person. And there are aspects to that that I think can be good because you do usually have, you know, you have more freedom to be able to say I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do that. Whereas, you know, obviously you cannot do that if you have. No, you can't do it as easily if you're in a couple, and you can't do it obviously very easily at all if you have kids, especially little kids. But I think the thing that has been interesting for me in that is a person who has like lived by herself for the most part, is it can be very isolating and that can be very unhealthy, for me. And looking at this idea of self-care, you know, we talked about all the things that, you know, I mean, the bubble baths could be nice. And sometimes if you did just have kind of a day where you're like, oh, I felt stressed out, I want to take a nice bath or a mask or a candle or whatever. I mean, those things are nice. But if that stuff is going to start putting you into some sort of financial distress, that's definitely not great. And there's an article that we'll post from this website called Ravishly that I actually thought was pretty good. They talked about the idea of what, you know, self-care isn't just bubbly scented oils or whatever. And the idea that really self-care, what it boils down to is is respecting yourself. Mm. And sometimes respecting yourself is saying, you know what, I am going to indulge a little bit. Whether I'm going to sit and watch, you know, a couple of episodes of some shows that I really love.
Yeah, like in that, there's one article, we'll link to it too, Working Moms Balance, and about self-care. And it mentioned self-care is not eating a bowl of ice cream. It's having like a big salad with veggies. And mm-hmm. while, yeah, it's true, like treating your body with respect, I think, is self-care. Like, I always feel better when I eat better. But sometimes mm-hmm. you got to say, fuck it. I need a big bowl of ice cream because I am trying to survive in my life.
Yeah.
So I think there's two, you know, it's a balance with those sort of indulgences, which we all need.
Yeah.
We only get one life. I mean, come on.
I think that's the thing, is like, if picking up a candle at the store or saying, you know, I'm going to have some cookies tonight, if that's something that you feel like, or eating a meal that you really enjoy, like comfort food, I think where it becomes problematic, from my experience at least. So for instance, and I can't even believe I'm going to tell this story.
Oh. Do it.
So I'm thinking about like when I was getting sober.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, here I am, I'm getting sober, and you really are. It's part of it, you know, you're picking up pieces from your life and you haven't really been engaged in your life in a way that is healthy, obviously. And on top of that, I had like the anxiety stuff. So that was not great. And I had some financial stuff, also not great. And I remember I would just sort of do this thing where I was like, well, I quit drinking. So, and I did go to meetings, but I was not always, as we've talked about, like I tried to be a joiner and it was very hard. But I loved being able to, like, quite frankly, if we're going to be honest, overindulge in food. And that was like my new addiction, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, it was, I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I was like, what am I doing? And I get that you don't necessarily want to trade one addiction or one illness for another, possibly.
But don't you think, like, sorry to interrupt, but like, it's almost like any, like, what am I trying to say? Getting off any sort of drug or weaning yourself off anything. Like, I see it as a problem if it continues after a while, but in the beginning, it's like, if you're just going to quit cold turkey, you have to replace it with something, right?
Yeah.
To fill up your mind. Cause I did that too. I was like on a candy, coffee, sugar rush binge. God, so or
I had no money and I was like putting together every coin I could find just to go. And like, I even was like, I'm going to, usually I was like, I'll drink coffee from Starbucks. And then I was like, listen, there's a Dunkin' Donuts and I can get this stuff for 99 cents sometimes. So we're going. But I do think that that's the case. I mean, for me, some of it is, I think there's a little bit of a complication sometimes because I can still have that tendency with, like, I can't buy cookies. Like, cookies for me, if I think to myself, I want to have cookies, I've had a rough day, that is not always a great self-care thing for me because I will eat pretty much all of the cookies. And that's bad.
I interrupted again.
No, then I just feel awful the next day. Now, if I go and say, I want to have a cookie today and I buy one from a specialty store, that's a different thing. But I think that that's where that balance comes in for allowing yourself at times to indulge, but then also saying there are times when you're you're going to say, you know what? Me staying up late again and watching another episode of whatever show isn't really, it's numbing me at this point. I need to get some sleep.
Yeah.
It's also sometimes that self-respect is like, I almost think of it as it's not being mean to yourself. And that's another thing we'll talk about in a second. Cause I feel like that's what I can go there. But it's also, it's kind of parenting yourself, like a parent, like who loves you would to say, okay, yeah, there are times and places for things, but there are also times where you need to go to bed because you need the rest in order to sort of repair and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's that balance. Like there are times where I should be eating a salad. And instead, if I'm having a really rough time, I'm like, no, no, I will eat, God forbid. And again, thank you. I really do have a better palate than this. I'll be like, I'm going to have Taco Bell. I've been depressed and anxious all day. I will eat Taco Bell. And I do vegetarian Taco Bell, I would like to state, but I'm going to do Taco Bell. And I'm like, it's okay if it's one time, but like you're doing it three times in a week. This is not good. Like,
yeah, because then that turns into, you know,
it's a numbing agent.
It, yeah, exactly. It's, and then it's like every single day, no matter what happens, I deserve this. I deserve this.
Exactly.
And it's like, no, you're just a human living in the world. Like, you're fine.
Exactly. It goes to a different place. And, you know, I think for me, like one of the things with self-care, like Jill and I were talking about this also, and this goes sort of to the parenting yourself in a healthy way. Like the basics in terms of what you eat, like if you're having, and this is like, I think this is all the time, but I also think if you're having a rough time, it's probably even more imperative. Like Jill and I were discussing how last week was just kind of go, go, go. And we were up pretty late most nights and we had to be up fairly early. And, you know, you're off your schedule, whatever. And it was super fun. But I think both of us in our own ways, like after the weekend was over, based on conversations we've had with each other, had our own kind of like crashed from that.
Absolutely.
And yeah. That's probably fairly normal for most people. You kind of have that crash after a vacation or like some sort of like special time. I think what sometimes for me, and I'm assuming Jill feels similarly, is if you struggle then also with like anxiety, depression, any kind of mental health issue, or even physical, like chronic health issue, that it is going to maybe ramp things up a little bit more. So, you know, Jill and I both talked about the fact that at various times this week we've texted each other where we were like anxious about something. And it's literally stuff that you would hear and you'd be like, I mean, I get it, but we're starting to be kind of in this tornado of like anxiety and feeling panicky and randomly crying at work for who knows. We don't know fully why. don't know. And I mean, I'll be honest, like, you know, that this week was for me a bit rough. And I do think like, sure, some things might have happened that were triggers, but if I had the schedule and the sleep and everything and been maybe, you know, drinking water, which I'm terrible at and everything, like it wouldn't have hit me quite as hard to where then I'm almost having a panic attack. And then like the tears for me, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm frustrated and overwhelmed and the tears are just coming out of my face. I'm trying to explain why I'm like anxious about something. And the person I'm explaining it to is like, but I don't quite understand still what you're talking about. And I'm like, I don't know either. So this is a fun conversation for us, you know? And for me, one of the big things, like I feel fortunate I was able, you know, I talked to Jill, I talked to my sister, talked to my poor mother. But for me, one of the big things in my self-care, and I recognize an enormous amount of privilege with this, is going to therapy, you know, and my therapist, I've been with her, I've talked about her. She is great. I've been with her for almost a decade, and she is super fair about what she charges, more than fair, what she charges me. And I mean, it's one of those things where we were in therapy today and she's like, you have to like use the tools that you have to not let yourself get, you know, sort of so overwhelmed and catastrophizing. And it's now just starting to sink into me where I'm like, oh, you need to then go to bed a little earlier. You need to make sure you're eating fruit or you're drinking water, and staying hydrated, and not just, I mean, obviously take my medication and let yourself kind of just relax.
Yeah. And
other than therapy, which obviously costs money, I mean, doing those basic things are just sort of everyday kind of taking care of yourself. Things. And I think it's, I think for everyone, that's so important. We live in a world that is, modern society is way overextended and connected and just constant onslaught of information. But I mean, we also live in a world that is not great, as we continue to hear every day on the news. You know, and I think that everyone needs to be able to say, I need to slow down. I need to take care of myself. How does that look? But I think especially if you're struggling with some kind of an illness, or in a very challenging time in your life, you particularly need to be paying attention to those just most basic things.
Yeah.
So water, obviously.
Water, water is not a problem for me. I just drink it.
I do not drink enough water at all.
I drink so much water.
But it's, I mean, and these are things that I remember, like when I had come out of the hospital and I was in outpatient, in an outpatient program, and they have you sit and do these worksheets. And while you're doing them, I don't know, I never talked to any of the other people, but they seem like fairly with it people. And I'm sitting and thinking, we all know we have to drink water. We all know we need to eat healthy. We all need to get sleep, do some sort of basic, at least physical activity, limit screen time, all that stuff. But they still, that's like a thing that they will do workshops over and over again with. And as many times as I would sit there and be like, but I already know this stuff. The reality is I wanted a magic pill that was like, this is the magic words you say and you'll quit feeling this way, versus these are things you actually, even though you know it, you have got to be on top of doing it.
Yeah, just like getting up and taking a shower in the morning is self-care. Brushing your hair.
I mean,
let me tell you.
No, but that's so true. Like showering. I mean, that's never been as much of a problem for me, but I do understand there are people who they then lean the other way where they don't, you know, keeping things kind of tidy or trying to like make your bed even something. So I understand it does. That can feel excruciating.
Yeah. And don't, you know, if you're really going through it, be so kind to yourself. If the bed's not made, you're okay. Everyone's okay.
But I think it's when it starts where you're getting stuck in that place.
Yes.
I get.
Now that I'm out of it and out of sort of that nervous breakdown mentality where literally I just need to like, I don't even know, keep my child alive and keep myself alive until we move. Making the bed. It just, and I work from home right now, so that is so helpful. It helps me just stay productive and like I'm a part of civilization in some way.
Well, I also think that I do understand there are people in the world who are probably, they don't love routines, don't love schedules. And there are people who they can flow with that. And I think that's awesome. And I wished I could be like that. I should probably not. I can go the other way and try to overplan to the point then I'm like not allowing flexibility, which is not great.
Yeah.
But I definitely am a person who does better if I have at least a general routine. And that for me, I can't even believe it. I don't know about teaching so much because that was very rough. Like when I went through particularly rough episodes, that was a survival mode. But having some sort of productive work, volunteering, and I hated when people would say this to me. They'd be like, you need to go to work or you need to think about volunteering. And I remember thinking, if you could understand the level of like frustration and fear and pain I'm feeling, you would not be giving me these ridiculous, you know, suggestions. And they still can feel very patronizing, I realize. And I do realize also that there are people who, and I can't speak to this, and I don't even know what this is like, that there are people who they do not have the ability, obviously, physically, from whatever is going on in their life, to be able to get out and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's on a, you know, different part of the spectrum of all these things. But having that, for me, having that routine, whether it is, you know, having a full-time job or in a few instances where I worked part-time or I then also volunteered at times, I didn't feel great when I was doing it, but I did like the consistency and the fact that I kind of knew what was coming up next in trying to get out of myself a little bit in some way. And I think that that's some of it with self-care is it's really just, you know, are you living your life in a way that is giving you the energy to be able to like try, consider, however you want to look at it, the things that you would like to do and help you manage any of the struggles that you have.
And also, you know, be there for the other people in your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think that's, if you're not taking care of yourself, then you can't take care of the relationships, whatever they are, friendships, mother, daughter, you know, whatever, even at work relationships, like everything just falls through the cracks.
Exactly.
So respecting yourself first, and then it sort of trickles off to everyone else.
Exactly.
But you know, self-care too, like if you're in a really bad space, you could also, if you have someone, like that's why going to meetings was helpful, because it got me out of my own head.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, other people have issues too. Like, how can I help them and like stop thinking about myself for a second?
Exactly.
Kind of pulls me, you know, not always, and it doesn't always last, but at least I'm pulled back into reality for a little bit. Which, you know, after a while will help the anxiety ease.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is nice.
It gets you off of whatever is, whether it's a real thing that's happening at that moment or it's your, you know, it's a thing that's in your head that feels like it's happening. It does get you out of that. I mean, I do still think things like some sort of physical activity.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Walking
for low impact, doing some stretches. Different people have feelings about breathing and meditation, which I totally get. There is something to be said for trying to do deep breaths where you breathe in, hold it, and then let it out.
That helps a lot.
It's enormously calming just in terms of like with your brain, which I think is a little easier than what people in kind of experience with like yogic breathing, which then always I feel can make you lightheaded and stuff. But making sure you're getting like the breaths or you take a walk, a change of scenery. Sometimes it's even like I was telling Jill that, you know, this week with my anxiety has been kind of up and down, and I've had some really like big spikes, and it feels so weird to say it right now because I feel okay. I mean, other than really tired, I feel okay right now. And interestingly enough, last week I was with Jill and we're like standing by on the street. And I was like, it's like, you know, you just even wonder, am I ever going to feel anxious again? So we're less than 5 days away from that. And I did. So there you go. And there were moments where I was like, you know, this is because I start panicking and I know it's not going to last forever. But there's part of me also that's like, it doesn't matter. It's almost like the fight or flight just takes over and you're not thinking clearly and there's a lion coming for you, even though you're, you know, sitting in your office. So you're like, there's four people here today. And I mean, there were moments where I had to just kind of sit and be like, you need to try to ground yourself. You need to just look around, try to notice if this stuff sounds so simple, but like notice colors or count to calm yourself down a little bit. Yeah. And that's, I think, when you're kind of in a more of a crisis panicky mode.
Yep.
But that kind of stuff, I think, can, you know, maybe don't go to Facebook at that moment and decide to read about the fact that, you know, we're ushering in the Handmaid's Tale here. So with everything that's been going on, but like, whether you've got to look at like pictures of people you love or something funny on the internet, there's a bunch of ways in those crisis moments, I think, to take care of yourself. But
do not go to Instagram.
Oh my God. Well, don't do that either. Unless you have go to like your inspirational page of like quotes or
like really funny cat videos.
Exactly. Don't look at other people's lives essentially. But I think also like those are the crisis moments, but obviously to stop it from getting to the crisis moment, you know, doing all those sort of things where I honestly, the self-respect thing, you know, and I think self-respect, part of that is letting yourself have cookies, or, you know, kind of just veg out or whatever that is for you. It is not shopping a bunch. I'm going to tell you that right now from personal experience, because then you feel good for a second and then you're like, oh good, now I have to pay this. That's fantastic. It isn't what they're trying to push with all this consumer stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with treating yourself occasionally if you are able,
but you have something to.
But it doesn't have to. That's not the answer. And that's not, yeah, I think, really deep, authentic self-care. And I think at the end of the day, that's self-respect. But honestly, and this is another article we'll link to, and I read it and I was just like, oh, Lord of mercy. And the idea was like why we must submit or commit, not submit. Oh, my gosh.
Like, oh, my God. Submit
to got, like,
where are we going with this?
In my head. But why we must commit to self-compassion, and part of being self-respecting and parenting yourself in a healthy way is having a level of compassion for yourself. And I think all of us have that inner critic that's like, oh, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? But, you know, some of us that gets a little louder. And you know, I was telling Jill about some things this week and I'm like, they're really not big things. And my therapist even was like, you're more upset about this than anyone else in these situations, just so you know that. And it's a little funny, honestly, but there's also
it's part just of so me that, direct.
It, yeah, but there's, well, after 10 years, it's fine. After 10 years, she's like, listen. But there's part of me, and I, this is interesting, actually. My sister and I were talking, and I was, like, freaking out, and I was upset, and I was kind of verbally putting myself down. I was like, I just don't understand why I get so worked up, and I'm so, you know, like, why I have to be so ridiculous or insane. And mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I say that stuff because I'm trying to be funny, but there are times where I think it's really, like,
yeah,
that's a hard thing for me. And she told me something that my niece had said recently about herself, and that she apparently, like, had kind of had a meltdown. And she's an emotional child, which I understand, but she had had a bit of a meltdown. My sister had gotten upset about something, like, normal mother kid stuff, nothing weird, nothing out of control. And she started saying, like, I'm just a jerk, I'm bad. And I was like, oh, I mean, yeah, I wish she had a little more, like, impulse control, but she's really little. So, I mean, obviously. And I just was like, that's so heartbreaking. Yeah. And so my sister had told me that, like, a day or two before. And then that day I'm talking to her, my niece was right there. And I'm like, I just feel so, I'm so ashamed and I'm so embarrassed. And I feel like I'm so crazy. And why do I have to always be like this? And she's like, Brooke, she's right here. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, first of all, this is how we pass stuff on to kids. So there's a lesson that I am definitely going to heed. And it made me think, like, think about how you felt when you heard her saying, or her, had it relayed to you, that she was feeling that way and saying that stuff. Now try to put that back on yourself and say, should you be being this hard on yourself?
Yeah.
And I think that that's part of it, is where if we don't have compassion, I mean, for instance, for me, when my anxiety spikes and I kind of am irrational and I sort of impulsively then end up doing something because I just need to get it out of me and I can't take it anymore. And then what I feel after that, there's more anxiety, but then there's shame and everything. And I really, really need to work on looking at myself and saying, you're doing the best you can. You know, you're working on this actively. You're not just like, eh, whatever, it's who I am, live with it. You're working on it and you're struggling with it. And yes, that sucks, but, like, try to be nicer to yourself.
Yeah.
About it. And patient. And that is super hard. But I think that when we can start having a little compassion with ourselves, we'll have it with others, I hope. And, you know, you will then be making choices that are better, I guess, or healthier.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're so hard on yourself, you don't give yourself room to grow. And, like, you have to acknowledge and be okay with the setbacks to realize your actions in the future. I mean, I feel like when I'm always in the spiral of I'm, you know, terrible, I'm awful, what's wrong with me, I'm the worst, then I just fall into that and I sort of lose sight of everything around me and the people around me.
Oh, absolutely. And you're reacting to then a narrative that's not even, it's not who you are and it's not what's happening.
But I think, you know, for me, I don't know if indulge is the right word, but I do allow myself, like, I know I'm upset. I need to just, it's okay to feel it for a day or two. And then I, you know, shake it off. And I, you know, whether it be with my art or anything, you know, just keep going. So I give myself, like, grace, you know, to feel that my feelings are valid. But then, you know, I have to shake it off and keep going.
So I think that that's what everyone, that's what you should do, everyone. I don't do that, or I'm just trying to start learning to do that. I get caught in the narrative and I stay there, and it's like a circle of punishment, of self-punishment, basically, internally.
Yeah, I used to do that a lot more.
I think that's why sometimes some of my anxious, depressed period lasted a little longer. But, I mean, it's gotten a little better. It has gotten better. I mean, even today it was rough and I felt frustrated, but I'm just being very honest here. Like, I didn't have the self-loathing isn't quite as, you know, as tough as it used to be. And I don't feel as breakable or weak. Mm-hmm. But I also recognize, you know, we're all coming from different backgrounds and different experiences. And I think sometimes I look and I'm like, well, you've been working on this for a long time. You should be farther along. And that's not self-compassion also, by the way. Yeah. And I recognize, like, different people have different levels of trauma, and your personality and your chemistry make up your ability to feel that self-compassion. Like, it's not easy, but that is where, I think that's where, like, in the article, it talks about committing to it, because it is a constant work in progress. Whether it's, you know, the self, what's going on in your head, or if you do something and then the sort of just harboring that in trying to tell yourself, I mean, for me, and this is a whole other topic, but it's a lot of it is rooted in my fear of, like, not being perfect. And if I don't react perfectly, everything's going to fall apart. And that is not logical, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to continue to try to say, how, you know, like, this is an opportunity. Like, so this anxiety, okay, you had a spike, you had a couple of days. It doesn't have to be the end of everything. You don't have to make it more than it is. Try to just have a little humor with it and move forward. And being patient and realizing, like, obviously you don't then just say, okay, I'm doing that now, my anxiety's gone. Like, it's a come down process, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But even sometimes, like, for me, trying to force myself to be nicer to myself, because it's going to have to be a learned process.
Yeah, absolutely. In this
situation. It's not, you know, and self-compassion isn't just, oh, everything I do is okay, and I'm, you know, the best, and I'm so great. But it's saying, like, you're doing the best and you're learning and you're making an effort.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also, like, being honest with other people. Like, you know, I'll forget to email someone, or I'll forget to do something, and I'll just, like, sit with it and, like, all these horrible thoughts about myself for not responding to an email or not sending a thank you card. And I will just get paralyzed, and then I can't send the email because I'm so ashamed that I didn't do it in the first place, that I just don't want to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And self-care when I'm in those moments is being honest with someone about mistakes that I think I've made, instead of keeping it inside.
Exactly. And, yeah.
You know, forgiving myself for those mistakes, because when I mention them to other people, they're like, it is fine. We all do that.
Well, I think also that
the standard I hold myself up to is,
yeah,
way beyond what a person can do. But I do want to, you know, try to recognize when I do make mistakes and forgive myself for them. And, you know, like you were saying, I just don't want to, like, be like, well, whatever I do, you know, it's cool, I'm just Jill, you know.
But And I think that's where the self-respect kind of self-awareness aspect comes in. Knowing your challenges, limitations, whatever you want to call them, and working to call yourself out on them, but not doing it in a way where you're like abusive.
No, it's more just like, we're all working. We're all in the process of who knows what. What is life? I don't even know.
What is, that's the next topic. What is life?
I don't even know.
And I do think that's the thing. We're all in this process. And I mean, honestly, then there are even people that I look at and I think, I don't want to have compassion for Donald Trump, like at all, or other people in my life. And I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get warm and fuzzy about him, but to realize that those people, whether they're, you know, they have some sort of sociopathy going on that really they shouldn't necessarily be around a bunch of humans, or they're so wounded in some way, you know, I mean, you don't have to be a doormat to them, and you can stand up and say things like, oh, hey, your policies are harmful to, you know, about 90% of humanity, and the earth. But you can also look and be kind of like, how miserable must you be? And
yeah, it's like when someone flips you off, you know, when you're driving, like your first instinct, I mean, my road rage instinct is like, I'm going to, you know, ram into you and then, you know, let's fight, bro. But
right. And I think it's also knowing, like, this isn't really self-care, but knowing when to step in and say, hey, this isn't cool what you're doing.
Yes. To a
person, having boundaries is self-care.
Oh, boundaries is totally self-care. And
that is hard. And there is
some things that, and I'm not talking about awful people here. I'm just talking about your average person who, like, pick your battles. Like, you know, it's okay to just be like, it's fine, I just need to breathe. But if someone's truly awful and, you know,
well, and harming your
well-being and your mental health, then you set boundaries, you ask for help, you get out of there. But I just know self-care in some aspects for me is not letting little things people say get me worked up.
Yeah,
if that makes sense. Like taking one thing someone says and spinning it to like, well, they probably hate me, or I'm the worst person ever, or
yeah,
you know, that sort of thing.
Exactly. I want to make that
very clear.
I mean, it's no, but and I do think that to some degree self-care is, if we lived in a just world where everything was equitable, we wouldn't have to worry about self-care because it would basically just be life, but that's not what we live in. And I think that self-care sometimes is a way to survive. And that's why I think it's bothersome when you're getting masks thrown at you as a self-care, you know, sort of holy grail, or you're getting, for instance, books or films on Amazon that are telling you, oh, you know, do these things, just say no to people, and that's self-care. It ignores the complexities of life and where people are.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't even, maybe in another time, but, you know, when I was in an abusive relationship in my early 20s, kind of 19, like, I wish that I knew that self-care was respecting yourself and having boundaries and saying no and asking for help, because that would have, you know, saved a lot of trauma in my life. So it is frustrating when, you know, people are standing up there saying, like, just do these things and you'll be better. Because while I feel like I am in a good place right now in my life, so these simple things really do help me. There are instances in your life where you're barely hanging on and you need more than exercise and water.
Exactly.
So do know that boundaries, saying no, asking for help, you know, we'll list numbers to call too if you just feel like there's no way out.
I mean, exactly. And I think that's the thing too, is I get, not everybody can access, afford therapy, or you're, you know, in a situation. I don't know. I mean, maybe there are people in situations who they have people in their lives who aren't letting them have access to that. But, you know, it's not perfect, but there are numbers that you can call, that you can text. If you feel like I just can't do this anymore. And I know it's overwhelming and it's scary, but it can and will get better. But part of that is, I think, you know, when you're in crisis mode, try to have some self-care tips, you know, that you find, like, are sort of immediate helpers.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a daily basis, when things are going okay, or maybe are just a little rough, looking and saying, like, these are, you know, I actually made a list on the thing. Like, I have a ton of books that I would say, but if you find some books that you think are encouraging, inspiring, whatever, you know, reading that stuff, whether you, even if you read it until it's dog-eared, but, like, for me, therapy, meetings, apparently that's what I'm supposed to go back and do another thing for my therapist, but that's a whole other thing. Exercise in some way, sleep, which I'm not always good at, food, liquid. I have to cut down on caffeine because it can activate things. But breathing, talking to people and connecting, being honest and trying to be patient. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that you can do, and trying to cultivate and commit to, like, learning to have some grace, some compassion with yourself.
Yeah.
When you don't, maybe when you do feel overwhelmed and you're crying about something that people are like, wait, what? You know?
Yeah.
And realizing that they might get frustrated. I mean, that's always been a hard thing for me, is that I'm frustrating this person. And I'm not saying anybody who's abusive to you, that's not cool, but they're human too, you know, and they see somebody that they care about in pain and they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to realize, like, this is just the messiness of being human. But there are things that we can do to sort of make it a little easier ride.
Yeah.
This doesn't even get into all the social justice stuff, but that's a whole other thing.
Oh my gosh. That's why we're doing a podcast, man. We can talk about whatever just nonstop every week. So buckle up, y'all.
Exactly. I think next week this is going to lead us into it's going to lead us into, we've decided, Brené Brown I actually first heard about her. I think I was in the, it was like after I came out of the hospital and somebody had talked about her. So this is like 4 years ago or so. And she had an interview. I don't even remember what podcast it was, This American Life or something, about her work with people in prisons, I think. And she talked a lot about self-compassion and things and shame. And she's really, I mean, she's a favorite of Oprah, etc. She's to me much more palatable than Rachel Hollis. But she has a Netflix special.
Yep. So
we're doing it. We're going to talk about how do we not feel shame, because that seems to be a big problem for human beings. And that's way different than being like, I screwed up, I feel a little guilty. It's called the, I'm going to just constantly make myself feel bad about everything. Cause I'm a human. And it looks like it's going to be pretty interesting. I think it's kind of sort of a mixture of all of her. I mean, she has like a whole bunch of books, and there's a section, yeah, you can read in them in, but this will be our overview of Brené Brown. She's also makes a cameo in Wine Country on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Jill and I watched
because we were so cool. It wasn't like the most funny movie, but it just warmed my heart.
It did. Yeah. And if any of you are people who are nearing that more 40-year-old and up range, you know, you'll look at it and you'll say, okay, Jill's an old soul. That's why she was able to get on with it.
I really loved it. I thought it was really sweet. And Amy Poehler can do no wrong in my eyes. She's so awesome. So
exactly. And I mean, like, we posted this, I think, last week for the, like, a couple of episodes ago, that she had her quote of, you know, we're just, as women, we're messy human beings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're on our game, sometimes we are mediocre, and sometimes we mess up. And if you can try to take some responsibility for those things and take a couple steps forward, then you're doing something.
So. Yeah. And so, yeah, if you want to watch the Brené, what's her name?
Brené Brown special. Brené Brown special on Netflix
before next week's Wednesday episode. So you have an idea of what we're talking about.
Wait, but they're not going to be able to know next, because this is going to, we're already going to have watched it.
Oh, shoot. Maybe we should put something on Instagram. We'll put something on Instagram to tell you what we're going to talk about.
And then this is like a time machine. So when you hear this next Wednesday or Thursday or whenever you listen to it, you're going to be like, whoa, they're telling me to listen to this thing, but I already did it, and I don't even know what kind of, like, the space-time continuum and everything. Yeah. So
I have no idea. I don't know what's happening.
This is called the after effects of the new week, basically.
Before we post this, whatever, we'll post something so you know to watch the special before the episode goes up.
Yes. And we will also make sure in the show notes to post the articles. I will always repost resources that we have. I feel like it might be kind of nice to post maybe some of the things we personally do, like lists.
Yeah, we should, like, we'll break down. It'll be a Brooke list, a Jill list.
I mean, obviously, please feel free to share your lists. Yes, please. It'd be really cool if people shared their lists on, like, social media.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I feel like that's a thing, right?
Yeah, we'll make a hashtag for it.
Hashtag, and then tag the at unglossed.
We'll figure it out. We'll.
The end of the episode's turning into a business meeting. Anyway.
I have a very surface self-care. I do this breakfast smoothie that's really good. And I'll put the recipe for that in the show notes, too.
Oh, well, look at that.
It just makes me feel like I've eaten something healthy, and it's really yummy.
That's actually really good. Not Taco Bell.
And it's easy. It's not like I have to, like, get the stove top running or whatever you do to
My single girl version of that is I bought the raspberries were 2 for $5. And I was like, I will take a thing of raspberries with me each day and eat those. So I did do that today.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's something, I guess.
I'll do the smoothie recipe.
Then I'll just write buy raspberries.
Brooke will write raspberries.
Raspberries and kombucha. Quit drinking coffee if you're feeling anxious.
Yeah.
Do you have any mindful moments?
Oh, boy. Oh, on the hike today. My hike this morning.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. It was so peaceful and the weather was perfect. And you could see mountains for miles and miles.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I've kind of been, you know, after we kind of get William and off to daycare before Daniel and I start work, we either like we'll watch an episode of a TV show or take a nap this week. Just because I was gone in New York for a week and going nonstop. And then he has been working nonstop and taking care of William since I was gone. So this week we've just been super lax. But today we got back on schedule. And we work out after we get William to school. So the hike was good. Getting outside, getting out in nature is one of my number one self-cares. I'll say that too.
Yeah.
I just need to be out and see the sun and the trees.
Yeah.
Feel part of the earth.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
What's yours?
I feel like I have two, and one of them, I don't know. So I'm going to start with the first, which is similar. Yesterday for work, one of the teams that I helped support invited me to go on their team building exercise, which was really lovely of them, because I feel like sometimes as an assistant, they forget that you're there. But we all went upstate and saw waterfalls, and it was just nice to be able, like, the people who are on the team are really nice. And it was just nice to get out of the city. Yesterday was like the first nice day after all of our days of Noah's Ark, basically, and rain and just cold and awfulness. So it was really pretty. And it was nice to be in nature. We went to a couple of like sort of farm to table restaurants, cafes in the Hudson Valley that were amazing. And that was really nice. But I was also wondering, so that's like my good mindful moment. Can mindful moments ever be anything that's like not great?
I guess so. Why not?
Sure. I think that with the anxiety this week, not when I was in the throes of it and like so confused that I felt like my brain was just scribbles, but when I was trying to ground myself or talk to myself like, you know, this is just your anxiety. This is your anxiety. It was not fun and it did not feel good. It was the opposite of being in the woods, but I guess the silver lining of it was being able to sort of be like, not have my brain all scribbled the entire time to do a little self-talk.
Yeah.
In there. So
that's, you know, good.
Small victories and all that jazz. So,
woo.
So, all right. It's getting warm here in the Northeast finally and on the East Coast. And hopefully we're not going to float away or. Who knows?
Who knows? Hopefully we're here next week by the way.
Exactly. So in the meantime, though, enjoy the beautiful spring weather. Brené Brown, take care of yourself. And we will talk to you, listen to you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.